This text, this gospel reading is amazing in one hand, sad on the other hand, and just pitiful. I mean, of course he's talking about the Jews, those who have been invited, and they're not coming. Of course there are Jews that are coming, but the ones that had been prepared, the ones who were put in place, who have been taught, who have been cared for this whole time, the whole country that has had God's hand, has had all the blessings, had all of the has had his word this whole time, all of the miracles, all of the examples, all of the things. I mean even Paul says, you know, as speaking for someone else, he says, so then what good is it that the Jews had these things and whatever, they've just thrown them away. And he said, it is still a very good thing. And then one day they will too come in. So even though this turns into this sadness, there is still hope. They just get put in with the rest of the nations. So you have Israel. I mean, in the beginning anyways, Israel was nothing special, right? I mean, Abraham was just one family in the area of, you know, where the two rivers were, the Tigris and Euphrates, Iraq and Iran. That's where they came out of. And so what's so special about Abraham's family? Not any different than us. And that's the thing. God chooses the whatevers, the ones that aren't very special, the ones that don't, you know, stick out very much, not the famous. He chooses the ones that aren't very talented. When I told my pastor that I don't know if I could be a pastor, I mean, I just didn't. So he read me in Corinthians. Paul talks about this very clearly, about God doesn't, you know, pick the best or the talented. And I asked my pastor, is this supposed to comfort me? What are you saying? So, but it's true, you know. And the thing that I've come to believe is that those who are saved are the ones that the devil has said to God, this one will never be saved. Just look how bad he is. Look at that heart. Look at that mind. Look at that weakness. Look, just look. He will never enter the kingdom of God. And God says, oh yeah, just watch. That's us, you know. And I think God gets a huge amount of pleasure out of beating the devil at this. So I don't mind being put in that lot. The ones who can't, the ones who don't have, the ones who aren't able. And so but for this Jews, they weren't able, and still they don't come. Always an excuse. And he is here, and we come up with excuses not to be here. And some of them are the most pitiful of excuses. And I've made them. You know, you remember that joke that a man was in bed and his mother, you know, happened to be living there too. I guess he was living with his mother, but she comes in and shakes him. You know, you got to get up for church. She's like, oh, no, I don't want to. And so he's like, oh, give me 5 more minutes. And she comes back and shakes him. And, you know, he doesn't want to. And she says, well, why? Well, the people don't like me. And so she said, but you got to get up. And he says, why? Because you're the pastor. But, you know, I feel for the guy. You know. But there are excuses, you know, but he promises to be here. God himself. And we're not talking about this being of immense power and not able to touch, you know. There have been people that have talked about God in the past as the unapproachable, and he's not approachable. We don't want to meet God in a dark alley. You know, when Nimrod and his group were trying to build, they were trying to build a tower to heaven, as if they could go up and reach and pull God down. That was the blasphemous thing that they were doing, as if they could. But it wasn't even if they could. It was, don't you know that if you do that, you're going to die? Moses was put in the cleft of a rock because if he saw God, he would die. We cannot, God is unapproachable. So, but he comes to us here, God, in a special way, in church. He gathers us here like a hen gathers her chicks, like a mother gathers her children. He gathers us and he is covered for us so that we don't die. And he covers us in different ways. He covers us first with baptism. We are baptized, and so we are clothed with Christ is the way it is also called. So when he sees us, he's not seeing the weak flesh of our sinfulness. He sees Christ. And so we are protected. And that's why he does this, so that we don't die until we're remade. And then we'll be able to stand before him, unclothed, so to speak, without a covering, because we will have a permanent covering that will be eternal, that will be like Christ. But he invites us here. And it isn't just Jesus saying to the Father, hey, you know, I'll go and sit with them because you know how weak they are. That's why I took on flesh, because I want to sympathize. Father, I know you're just keep your anger there. I'll take care of it. You know, as if God the Father has to be held back. And as if the Holy Spirit's power is too great, and that he only comes for these big in power, you know, the moments in history where he has to you know, throw lightning or destroy a city or whatever the Holy Spirit's involved. As if that's the way God operates, and people describe God in that way. You know, as if each of them have their thing to do and they don't do it together, or they kind of, you know, they have to make a decision and, okay, this is my job. No, the Holy Trinity of God himself is here. And the amazing thing that St. Paul says, and I repeat it all the time because it blows my mind, is the entire deity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is in Christ bodily. So when we talk about Jesus being here, all of God is here, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We get a little bit of picture of that at different times in the Holy Scripture. At Jesus' baptism, the sky, and Mark does it in this way, the sky is ripped open. And so the Father speaks, and that thunderous voice that scared the people of Israel and said, Moses, you go up there. We don't want to. We're afraid. And God said, they're right. Because many times I wanted to break loose and just destroy them, because sin is that evil. But Moses was the mediator, the pre-Christ, the one who God sent as one who would be like the one who has come to stand in the gap between him, the one who was to be there to take away the sin permanently, which would be Christ. But that thundering thing that was heard by John the Baptist and others, some said an angel spoke, others said, they heard something, and John said, this is what God said. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And on the mountain of transfiguration, God the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And so you have God the Father and God the Son, and then you have the Holy Spirit as baptism came down and rested on him. So you have God in three persons there. And again, this is heavenly physics. We don't know how God does this. He is one God, but he's also three persons. Not three gods, but one God. And we have to accept it as that's the way God says it. But he, the Father, loves us, and Jesus makes that clear. He says, not just I love you, but the Father also. So you can ask him in my name, is what he says. So we have this invitation every Lord's Day. Sunday is his day. This is the day of his resurrection. That's why we meet on Sundays. And so he invites us. I am going to give you a part of the banquet that's waiting for you in heaven. And that's why we have this semicircle here, because we are meeting with, on the other side is heaven. This is earth, that's heaven. And so we receive from that altar. That altar is connected to heaven, and we receive the benefits down from there. So this is if you want, the first course in an eternal meal in heaven. And that's what we receive in the Lord's Supper. Eternal food that will sustain us until the last day. And so this is what we're being invited to, and this is what these people are, I got better things to do. And it just boggles the mind. How can you do that? Well, our sinful flesh gets the better of us. And thank God that he still invites, and thank God that he still prepares and says, come, I know. That's why I died on Calvary for you. I know. Come, for all has been made ready. Let me feed you. Let me feed you eternal life. Amen.